Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping our listeners hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. We hope you're having a blessed Christmas holiday season, and if it's top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. This is your opportunity to call and speak straight into the studio with us if you have a question or some issue you're dealing with. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, a lot of times we get tired of waiting on the Lord to do things in our lives. We pray and we pray about situations. We offer up requests. We do what the Bible says. And then we wait and we wait and we wait.
I have firsthand experience.
Yeah, and we wonder if the Lord is just silent on these things. And, you know, does he really care? And we have to realize that God is at work. He's always doing things on our behalf. He's working the big picture situation together for our good. And we miss that. And that's why sometimes waiting is so difficult for us, that we're just looking at this problem through the lens of our circumstance, how we feel, what's important to us, and we're not connecting it to a bigger picture. Well, God is always connected to a bigger picture that includes us in that big picture. So sometimes we sit and wait, and we just wonder, does God, do you care? Well, here's something about the Christmas story that I think is an encouragement to each and every one of us. And it says this in Galatians chapter 4. Now, you don't think of Galatians chapter 4 when you think about Christmas. Yeah. But I'm telling you, you should, because it gives us some important information. So Paul is writing about Jesus. He's writing about the fact that we're no longer under law, but under grace, that when we were, before we came to know Christ, we were under the law. That law served as a guardian until that day we could receive full rights as sons. And so in the midst of that conversation, Paul writes this, "But when the fullness of time had come," one translation puts it this way, "at just the right time."
Yeah.
So when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Mm-hmm. So God is always on time, right on time. He's never late. He is working things together in such a way that when he jumps into the mix and does something on our behalf, we know it's him. We know it's the right time. So if you're sitting there today, all bottled up inside because God hasn't answered, you don't believe God has acted on your behalf in some circumstance, just sit back and wait. Know that God is at work. Why? Because he loves you. He demonstrated that love for you, and that while you were a sinner, he died. So he acted on your behalf even before you had come to know him. Now, that's a powerful statement. So now that you do know him, recognize the fact that he is working on your behalf for your benefit, for your good. Mm-hmm. So if it seems like God hasn't answered, if it seems like God is silent on a particular issue, rest assured that he's not. Rest assured that he is doing his work, big picture stuff, and that at the right time, God is going to act, and you're going to know it. And that's what we learn from the Christmas story. Why was Jesus born 2,000 years ago? Why didn't God just send Jesus into the mix right after the garden story with Adam and Eve, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why didn't God send Jesus then? Mm-hmm. Why did he wait some 2,000 years, or maybe even longer, for that event to happen? Because the time wasn't right. And at the right time, when the fullness of time had come, God acted. He intervened. He sent Jesus into the mix. Mm-hmm,
right.
So believe me, there was a day in your life when you were lost, when you were dead in sin, when you lived in the realm of darkness, and it looked bleak, it looked helpless, it looked hopeless, and at the right time, Jesus came into your world. God sent Jesus, and you responded to Jesus and went from death to life. You went from darkness to light. You went from sinner to saint. Mm-hmm. And at the right time, God is going to work on your behalf time and time again.
Absolutely. And that is good news. That's the kind of news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. We have open lines at 844-322-2742. It's 5 after 3 p.m. Central Time, and if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, it is live, and you can call and speak directly with us in the studio, again at 844-322-2742. And as we entered the Thanksgiving Christmas holiday season, we did so with a need of a little bit more than $250,000 in order to close 2019. So we hope you, our listener friends, will step up at this time and help meet that need. Donate now or anytime at our website, basicgospel.net. You know, your gifts make a difference in people's lives, both here in North America and literally around the world. Now, we love the fact that because of the internet, the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ has been heard in more than 120 countries around the world, friends. Still, we know that more than 99% of the support we receive will have to come from the U.S. and Canada. But keep in mind that every dollar you give helps to reach someone somewhere with the truth of Jesus Christ, and you have an eternal part in that. So again, please help us keep reaching people wherever they live with the liberating truth of the gospel of Jesus. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Tampa and talk to our friend Bobby. Hi, Bobby.
Bobby.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. I'm just waiting for my van to pick me up and hopefully take me home so I can get a bite to eat and just chill out and maybe listen to some Basic Gospel MP3s that I got from that MP3 website.
Excellent.
Yeah. A little plug for that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that, yeah. Bobby. What's on your mind today?
Right. Well, I've heard some people say they don't believe in a rapture. Others say it's a pre-trib rapture. I heard something on one of the Basic Gospel MP3s that I was listening to, something about there's no way that a believer can take the mark of the beast because they're already sealed by Jesus. So I guess what I want to know is, what is the truth about the rapture and when will it happen?
Well, we do know that God is going to rapture us out of here. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So that word caught up is the Latin word for rapture. And that's where we get that term. So we know that it's going to happen. There's an event where God is going to catch us up to be with Jesus, to be with him forever. Now, the debate has always been, Bobby, when is that going to take place? And so we've speculated, we've entered into discussions, we've looked at passages from every different angle and from every theological viewpoint. And so there's some that believe it's going to be right before the tribulation, that God is going to rapture the church out of here, and then the tribulation is going to happen for 7 years, and then, you know, all the other dominoes are going to fall as far as the prophetic timeline is concerned. There are others that will argue with as much passion and persuasion as the pre-trib people that the rapture is going to happen mid-trib. There's going to be a 3.5 year period of time where things are seemingly good and at peace. And then at the 3.5 year mark, that's when Jesus is going to be there in the clouds and he's going to rapture up the church. And then the tribulation is really going to let loose in a very powerful, dark way. And then there are some folks that will say, no, it's not pre-trib, it's not mid-trib, it's pre-wrath. So whenever the wrath of God comes upon the world in judgment, then the church is going to be raptured up at that time. So there's a lot of debate about the timing. And I think we can get caught off guard, or we can be moved into a crazy direction when we're trying to figure out the timing. I think it's good for us to know that a rapture is going to take place because we've been marked out by the Holy Spirit, because we belong to Jesus Christ, that whenever that happens, we're going to be counted among those who are going to be raptured up to be with Jesus forever. And the great news, Bobby, is that we're going to be with the Lord. The Lord is now with us through his Holy Spirit. That's good news, isn't it? And
amen.
And our great hope is that when we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If we're still alive when Christ comes back, at that moment, we're going to be present with the Lord, and we're going to get our new bodies. And it's going to be incredible to have that hope realized in our experience. So, Bobby, great question today. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Thanks, Bobby. Great to hear from you as always. Well, we have open lines at 844-322-2742. Calls coming in. So, Bob, let's just keep it going.
Yeah, let's go to John listening to us on WMUZ in Michigan. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you perfectly. What's on your mind today?
Just real quick, I want to say thank God that you guys are on the line for what you're doing. I just have a quick question regarding Jesus. Is Jesus God? And, for example, when Jesus said the Lord's Prayer, you know, asking God, that's where I get confused. Well, on a couple different ends there. But is Jesus God in human flesh? So when I'm praying, I'll give you an example. Am I praying to Jesus? Am I praying to God? That's where it gets kind of confusing. So sometimes I feel like I'm praying to Jesus and God, but if they're the same person, does that make sense? I hope.
Well, yeah, John, it's a great question, and you're really asking about the Trinity. How can God be one God but manifest himself in three distinct persons? As God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And that is the mystery. And it's something that our minds can't fully grasp. And so this is where faith comes into the mix, that the Word of God declares it so. We see God manifesting himself in three distinct persons through the Word of God. They're all one essence. They're the same nature. They're divine. So God the Father is divine. Jesus Christ the Son is divine. The Holy Spirit is divine. And yet they manifest themselves in three different roles. And so we see those different roles throughout the Word of God. So it's God the Father that kind of set it all up. It's Jesus Christ that became flesh and dwelt among us. It was Jesus Christ that offered his body as the sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. It's his life, his blood that saves us. And it's made real in our experience through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. And the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day. So,
okay.
So God is complex, isn't he?
Absolutely.
He's beyond our human abilities to fathom the fullness of who he is. And so what God did on our behalf is that he became one of us in Jesus Christ. So everything that we can know about God, we learn through the person of Jesus Christ. So we find out what God's like when we look at the face of Jesus. when we see that he forgave us our sins, when we see the mercy that he extended to us, the grace that he poured out on us, the love that he's put into our hearts, that's what God is like. And we learned all of that in the person of Jesus Christ. But know this, God is one, but he's manifested himself in three distinct persons.
So when I'm praying to God, I can ask in Jesus' name, or just when I'm saying God in general, it's the same prayer.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, the fullness of the Godhead lives in you. When you're praying to Jesus, you're praying to the fullness of the Godhead. When you're praying to God the Father, you're praying to the fullness of the Godhead. The reason that we pray in Jesus' name is because it was through his work and death, burial, resurrection, and ascension that we have access into the throne of grace. So it's
okay.
His blood that gives us the confidence to enter in with boldness and to pray and lift up anything to God the Father.
All right. Said beautifully, as always. Thank
that makes
so
sense?
Much, your time.
Hey, you're welcome,
Dad,
John.
Thanks, John.
Smiling.
Good
have a
deal.
Day, guys.
Yeah.
Good deal. Thank you so much. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. And, Bob, you know, between Thanksgiving and the end of the year is the time when we hope to see support for Basic Gospel grow and take us into the new year. Talk to our listeners a little bit about what we need between now and the 31st.
Well, we just would really like to see a lot of people who want to participate in God's work through Basic Gospel. You know, the good news is free. But deliver it through radio, that takes some money.
Yes.
To pay for airtime. It takes money to run our YouTube channel and all the things that we do, so that anyone who tunes in, whether it's through radio, whether it's through one of our internet partners, whether it's through YouTube, they can listen and receive the good news free of charge.
Yes.
So we're asking people to partner with us. And we would love to see more and more people step up to the plate and to help proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one message that's needed more than any other. And boy, there are a lot of messages out there in the world.
I'll see.
So we're hoping that, a great number of folks will step up to the plate between now and December 31st, and to help us meet our critical need of $210,000. So if we can do that, then we're paying for airtime, and we're going to keep this thing rolling in our current form and maybe have some opportunities to expand and grow and to be able to tell this story to many more people.
Yes.
Around the world. So give today, give generously, come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel.
And you can do that at basicgospel.net anytime, day or night, again at basicgospel.net. Help keep this good news on the air. And with your gift this month, we're going to send you the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar. Not just a calendar, but a collection of tastefully created memes that you can copy and share with your social media platforms. Help spread the gospel through social media. And to make your gift again and receive your copy of the 2020 calendar, just click donate at basicgospel.net.
Let's talk with Charles.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, my name is Charles. I am recently a new believer in Christ. I recently repented, and I'm getting baptized actually this Sunday. And my question is, I have a problem with lust, a big problem with lust, and pornography. And I know the Spirit is living in me. But my question is, how do I deliver it the easiest tools that will help me through it?
Well, Charles, the best tool, and it's not really a tool, it's a person.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ living in you through the Holy Spirit. And, you were lost, you were dead, you lived to gratify the desires of the flesh, and you gratified those desires through lust and pornography. And so since the flesh was gratified in that way, it's going to always want to be gratified in that way. So you're going to experience those desires of the flesh, even as a child of God. But, Charles, because you are now in the Spirit, and because the Spirit now lives in you, you can keep your eyes on the Spirit and the desires that He's putting in your heart. And one of the things you're gonna start to notice is you're gonna begin to see people, and especially women, in a completely different light. Pornography forces you to see them as simply objects of your sexual desires. So you're not seeing them in the same way that God sees them. But as you walk in the Spirit, you're going to begin to see people and women in a completely different viewpoint from God's vantage point. And that's going to be a big help to you. The second thing is this. The Holy Spirit is going to bear the fruit of His life in you. Now, that is a ninefold fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians chapter 5. And one of the things that he talks about is self-control. So if you will walk in the Spirit, then this fruit of self-control will become evident in your experience as far as lust and pornography is concerned. So what Paul says to you is simply this, to walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, that says several things. You're not there to try to clean up the flesh. It's not your job to get rid of those desires of the flesh. It's simply your life to walk by the Spirit. And as you do, you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's a byproduct. So don't focus on the lust or the pornography. Focus on the Spirit of God. Focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on the love that He has poured out into your heart. So you walk by faith in Jesus. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So learn this, Charles. Those fleshly desires aren't going to go away, but you have someone living inside of you that is stronger, that is more powerful than those desires. Keep your eyes on Him, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Great answer. And we had this call as well from Dallas.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Mike, and I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. My question is about translations of the Bible and how the word love is translated in the Bible. Specifically, as I'm sure you're aware, John 3:16, you know, uses the word love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But then as you continue to read through the book of John, I believe it's in the 15th, 16th chapter, where Jesus speaks about those that love Him will be obedient to Him. And so I'm just trying to understand in those passages whether it's the same word love in the original language or whether it's being translated as love, but they're actually two different words and potentially have two different meanings. Thank you. I'll look forward to the answer to the question.
Well, Mike, that's really a good question. We see the word agape, and that's God's love toward us. That's John 3:16 love. That's 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 love. And then we have another word, phileo, which we get our word Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love. So we see these two words specifically in John chapter 20. When Jesus is restoring Peter, and he says, "Do you love me?" Agape, and Peter says, "You know that I love you," phileo. So we see that play there. And so agape is an unconditional love. Phileo is more of the brotherly type of love.
Yeah.
And God loved us with agape. We respond to that in faith and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Mike, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And friends, thank you for being with us today for Basic Gospel. We're glad, as always, that you are here. And if you have a question you'd like us to answer, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Also, thanks to everyone who helps in supporting Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. You are the reason we're able to be on the air each day with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to help with your gift today, click donate at basicgospel.net. And as you make your December gift, as we said earlier, we'll send you the Basic Gospel 2020 calendar with memes for every month to help you share the truth of the gospel through social media. We hope you'll make your gift right now at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow, same time, same station, for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.